Our text this morning is Colossians 2, verses 16 through 23, and also verse 8. I've titled this message, Good-Looking Hypocrisy. Good-Looking Hypocrisy. We've all been surprised by something that looked good on the outside but was nasty on the inside. When I worked with college students, they were, of course, prone to play pranks on each other, and one night Crystal was making cookies for a group of them. They were just regular cookie dough wrapped around half of a miniature Snickers bar and then baked. And some of the guys took a pile of garlic powder and filled the inside of the dough with garlic powder instead of with the Snickers bar and then gave it to one of the other guys. I think one of you told us about the time when someone sent you Oreos, but they had taken the Oreos, scraped out the regular Oreo filling, replaced the filling with toothpaste, and then put the Oreos back together. Those examples are kind of humorous, but this morning we'll look at some warnings in Colossians 2 that are very serious. There is a kind of Christian living that looks great on the outside, but is ugly on the inside. It is good-looking hypocrisy. And this message is very important for each of us because, like the Colossians, here's the struggle. We are tempted to maintain a wonderfully spiritual appearance and actions while neglecting true spirituality. Isn't that right? Tempted to maintain a wonderfully spiritual appearance and actions while neglecting true spirituality. So watch out for good-looking hypocrisy. Watch out for it in yourself. Look with me at Colossians 2, verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. Now verse 16, therefore let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as, do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Two main points this morning from these verses. Number one, watch out for good-looking signs of hypocrisy. And then number two, understand how these things are different from true spirituality. Watch out for good-looking signs of hypocrisy and understand how these are different from true spirituality. So first of all, watch out for good-looking signs of hypocrisy, and we'll see four of them. So number one, watch out for giving allegiance to men's philosophy. Look at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than to Christ. We are tempted to give our allegiance to the philosophies of men. This word philosophy is really not a bad word. It just means love of wisdom, but this is love of man's wisdom, not God's. Because of this, because it's man's wisdom, it is, the verse says, empty deception. Man's wisdom that sounds spiritual but really isn't is just a trick. It's empty. It says it's empty deception that's according to the tradition of men. Again, this is not God's wisdom, this is man's tradition. Then according to the elementary principles of the world. Elementary principles means the ABCs, the basics. I think there's a lot of debate about what this means here, but I think this refers to the regulations of the Mosaic Law. Paul uses this in Galatians 4, 1 through 10 to very clearly refer to the regulations of the Mosaic Law. Those regulations were just the ABCs because they were just foreshadowing Christ. They weren't the climax of God's working with man. They were to bring us to Christ, not to actually save us. They were an important stage in the story of redemption, but an incomplete one until Christ came. These things were good because they pointed people to God's perfect priest, God's perfect sacrifice, to the perfect tabernacle, we're told in Hebrews. They pointed ultimately to Christ. But once Christ came, going back to focus on those ABCs was like a college student deciding he wanted to go back to kindergarten. So man's wisdom looks spiritual. It follows traditions. It may be connected in some ways with the regulations of the law, but ultimately it's just the wisdom. It's the philosophy of men. It looks spiritual, but it isn't really. So watch out for giving your allegiance to men's philosophy. Secondly, watch out for trying to appease others based on your observance of religious traditions. Look at verses 16 and 17. Therefore, let no one act as your judge in regard to food or drink, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Watch out for trying to appease others based on your observance of religious traditions. We're tempted to try to look spiritual, to make people happy just by observing religious traditions. And Paul says, let no one act as your judge about these things. As we saw 3 weeks ago, these are matters of Christian liberty. It does matter what you do in these areas. You can't just do whatever you want. But you must decide in your conscience before God what He wants you to do, rather than letting other people decide what you should do. In other words, we are tempted to try to make other people think we are spiritual by following the traditions that they like. He says, don't let anyone act as your judge in regard to food or drink. This refers to the Jewish dietary laws about what and how you eat and drink. In a little bit, we're going to look together at Matthew chapter 15, but I'll just mention here that there's an example of this there. The Pharisees say, Jesus, why don't your disciples wash their hands before they eat bread, like the elders say we're supposed to? There was apparently a tradition that if you didn't wash your hands before you ate, you became spiritually unclean. Of course, another example we talked about 3 weeks ago is eating meat that had been offered to idols. So Paul says, don't let anyone act as your judge in regard to food or drink, in regard to the dietary laws, or in respect to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. Festival refers to the word for the official Jewish festivals. It's used in the New Testament to refer to the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. The new moon was a monthly Jewish celebration that God set up with Israel. It's there in the Old Testament several times. And of course, then there's a reference to the weekly Sabbath. So these are Jewish special days. Paul says, don't let anyone act as your judge in regard to these things, because Christ has come. He is the fulfillment of these things, so these are matters of liberty. You decide in your conscience before God what God wants you to do. Don't try to look spiritual by following any tradition that anybody likes, just to make yourself look spiritual. You understand what I'm trying to say there? There's a temptation to try to look spiritual by observing any religious tradition that anyone thinks should be observed. But watch out for that. That might just be a good-looking sign of hypocrisy. Now, number three, watch out for following man's ideas about spirituality. Look at verses 18 and 19. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement, the worship of the angels, taking a stand on visions he has seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body, being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Now, before you get too confused by these verses, be encouraged. One commentator called these, quote, two of the most puzzling verses in the New Testament. These are very hard verses to translate, and because of that, they're hard verses to understand. He says, let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. By the way, that prize is probably salvation. Let no one keep stealing from you, defrauding from you salvation by getting you off on man's ideas about spirituality, like self-abasement. That means beating up on yourself, probably. It's a hard word, and to understand what it means is we struggle to figure out which way we should understand it. But probably it means beating up on yourself might look spiritual, but it isn't really. It doesn't save you from sin. It doesn't make you more holy to knock yourself down as low as you possibly can. Then he says the worship of the angels. And what does this mean? Does this mean maybe that some of them said, God is so holy that we could never worship him, so we'll worship angels or mediators. Or maybe it means that some men had visions of angels or said they talked to angels. The worship of angels is just man's idea about what would be spiritual. And, you know, we see that at the great popularity of angels in America today. This isn't God's concept of spirituality. This isn't what God says. This is what man says. Man says, make much of angels. Worship them. And then it says, taking his stand, this teacher is taking his stand on visions he's seen. Making them up. Or maybe making much of normal dreams. Or maybe he's having demonic visions. I don't know. The person who's promoting this stuff is inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Okay? This isn't godly spirituality. Self-abasement, the worship of angels, taking your stand on visions. This isn't godly spirituality. This is fleshly. This is just some man's idea about spirituality. So beware of following man's ideas about spirituality. And then, beware of submitting yourself to decrees of men related to the law. Watch out for submitting yourself to decrees of men related to the law. Verses 20 through 23. If you've died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, which we all have, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees, such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and self-abasement and severe treatment of the body, but they're of no value against fleshly indulgence. Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. This refers again to the decrees of men related to the law, whether they were directly from the Mosaic law or whether they were additions to it that the Jews has added. Paul says, we died with Christ to that. He completely fulfilled the law. He paid for our rebellion against it so that we are now dead to the obligations of the law. The law does not have power over us any longer. He says, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to these things? I think that means if you are not saved, if you have rejected Christ, you don't have any hope for forgiveness of your sins. So what do? Well, you just hope that you can be good enough. So if anyone has a rule or a regulation that sounds spiritual, you obey it in the hopes that, you know, you'll make it to heaven. So if you're still living like that, if you're following any and every rule and regulation in the hopes that it will make you spiritual, you are living in the world, not like someone who has full forgiveness in Christ. You're living like an unsaved person who kind of goes with any idea about what rule might make him look spiritual. That's not how you live once you're in Christ and have full forgiveness in Christ. You're forgiven. The penalty's been paid. The law of Moses does not have power over you any longer. So why are you trying to look spiritual by submitting yourself to decrees of men related to the law? Probably one of the main applications of this, one of the clearest applications that we can make, because the New Testament makes it so many times, is making rules and regulations about the observance of the Sabbath day. That is man's decrees related to the law. And if you're submitting yourself to those things, oh no, I've got to follow these rules, whatever anybody thinks I ought to do on the Sabbath day, he says, listen, you've died with Christ to those things. Stop. Stop submitting yourself to the decrees of men related to the law. Now, here's what makes this, helps us understand this and not misunderstand it. That's our second main point, is understand how these are different from true spirituality. We can't not only need to look at just these things that we've seen, you know, why are you submitting yourself to decrees? Don't let anyone act as your judge about food or drink. But we need to look carefully at Paul's reasons. We need to understand how these are different from true spirituality. These things all look spiritual. You look at verses 23. These are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom. These look like godly wisdom, like godly spirituality. So you have to be careful. You have to pay careful attention to understand how these are different from true spirituality. So look at what Paul says back to verse 8 again. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. See, the tradition of men is not according to Christ. It isn't dependent on Christ. It doesn't lead you toward Christ. It leads you away. And so that's the first point under understand how these are different from true spirituality. Number one, men's philosophy doesn't lead you toward Christ, but away from Him. Men's philosophy doesn't lead you toward Christ, but away from Him. Notice he says, see to it that no one takes you captive. This is, and I think the New American Standard here is a very accurate translation of this word. If you are following a man's philosophy, his wisdom about true spirituality, you are giving your allegiance to him. Christ doesn't have your allegiance any longer. So, you have been taken captive by someone else. He has stolen your allegiance away from Christ. So understand that these men's philosophy doesn't lead you toward Christ. It leads you away from Him. And so that's why it's not true spirituality. Number two, the Jewish ceremonies and laws just foreshadowed Christ's coming, and now He's come. You remember that in verses 16 and 17? Don't let anyone act as your judge in regard to food, drink, festival, new moon, Sabbath day. Verse 17, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. These things were not wrong, but they were a shadow of what has come. And that is Christ. He is the substance behind that shadow. Hebrews 8:5 tells us that the sacrifices under the law and the tabernacle itself were, quote, a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. They were an imperfect copy of the real things, pointing God's people to the heavenly realities, foreshadowing what was coming in Christ. And Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 4 is also very important. It says, quote, the law is a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of the things. It, quote, can never make perfect those who draw near. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Those things served a purpose until Christ, but now their purpose is gone. If you continue to pay attention to those things and ignore Christ, you are paying attention to the shadow and ignoring the reality. So understand, these are different from true spirituality because the Jewish ceremonies and laws just foreshadowed Christ's coming. And now He has come. So true spirituality is now going to pay attention to Christ, not the shadows. Now, number three, man's ideas about spirituality depend on your own strength, not on grace from Christ. Look at verses 18 and 19. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement, the worship of angels, taking a stand on visions he's seen, inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. Anyone who teaches you about his own ideas about spirituality is inflated in his fleshly mind. He is completely dependent on himself. He is not holding fast to the head. See, if you were part of a body, you'd better stay attached to and pay close attention to the head. You'd be in real trouble without it. And that's what these people are like. They're like body parts not connected to the head. They're trying to be spiritual in their own strength, with their own ideas, and they are dependent, and they are not dependent on grace from Christ. They are as worthless as a body part which can't get signals from the brain. So it can't move, it can't do anything. Look out for anything that pushes you to depend on your own strength, not on the grace you receive from a real relationship with Christ. So, man's ideas about spirituality depend on your own strength, not grace from Christ. Man's philosophy doesn't lead you toward Christ, but away from Him. The Jewish ceremonies and laws just foreshadowed Christ's coming, and now He's come. Man's ideas about spirituality depend on your own strength, not grace from Christ. Now, number four, the decrees of men related to the law look spiritual, but they have no power against your flesh. Verse 20 says, if you've died with Christ, see, dying with Christ does have power against your flesh. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, are you submitting yourself to these decrees? Verse 23, these are matters which have, to be sure, the appearance of wisdom, self-made religion, self-abasement, severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value against fleshly indulgence. These decrees of men, they look really spiritual, but they don't have any power against your flesh. And your flesh is the real problem. Remember, we just saw last week that unless Christ does spiritual circumcision on the body of your flesh, you are dead. No man-made rules are going to take care of that. And once you're saved, a bunch of man-made rules won't make you spiritual either. You have to walk in the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have to know Christ and love Him and love His Word and be controlled by His Spirit. The decrees of men related to the law, they might look really spiritual, but they're not powerful to subdue your flesh. They don't have real spiritual power. So all of these things look good. They look spiritual, but they aren't. They don't lead you toward Christ. They don't focus on Christ. They're based on self-dependence, not Christ-dependence. And they have no power to subdue your flesh and make you Christ-like. It looks good, but really, it's all hypocrisy. That's why I call this beware of good-looking hypocrisy. Now, before we look at some applications from this, I just want to stop and mention two possible misinterpretations of this passage. Number one, some might say, well, this means that all traditions are wrong. Look, verse 8 says, don't be taken captive according to the tradition of men. But do you know the same word for tradition is also used positively in the New Testament? All traditions are not wrong. They can be helpful barriers and protections for us. They reflect many times traditions reflect the wisdom of centuries of godly men and women before us. We are wise to pay close attention to those things. All traditions are not wrong. But as soon as a tradition deviates from Scripture, leads us away from biblical obedience or away from Christ, then it's wrong. So are all traditions wrong? No. Secondly, are all rules wrong? Verses 20 and 21 say, why are you submitting yourself to rules? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. Now, first of all, realize this is referring mainly to rules related to salvation. Stuff men make up and then say, well, God will save you if you'll do this, or God won't save you if you don't do this. It's not true. Salvation is by grace, through faith, in Jesus Christ, not by man-made rules. Now, there are some other kinds of rules that do need to be avoided. Are all rules wrong? No way. But are there some kind of rules that need to be avoided? Yeah. Rules related to salvation, like we just saw. Any man-made rules that don't really reflect Christ-like living, that needs avoided. And forcing your personal standards on other people in areas of liberty. Okay? Those rules, everybody else has to do exactly what I do, are wrong, are dangerous. Rules about salvation are wrong and dangerous. Rules that lead you away from Christ are dangerous. But in general, rules are good. Self-discipline is good. Submitting yourself to the rules that the authorities over you lay down is good, and obedience to that is commanded in Scripture. So please don't take this to mean that all traditions are wrong or that all rules are wrong. Watch out. Watch out for good-looking signs of hypocrisy and understand that these things are different from true spirituality. Now, I've tried to help us understand here what is actually a very, very difficult section of Scripture. This is probably the hardest section of Colossians to piece together. So let's try now to move into some real practical application. How does this matter? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, please. Matthew 15. It's easy to get lost there in Colossians 2 and the things that are related to the law and God's relationship with Israel and first century cultural setting and traditions and come out wondering how does this stuff apply? I think Matthew 15 will give us a good start. Matthew 15 verse 1, I'm going to actually read all the way through the first 20 verses here in Matthew 15. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, and why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, And he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God, he is not to honor his father or his mother. And thus you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. And after he called the multitude to him, he said to them, hear and understand, not what enters into the mouth defiles the man, but what proceeds out of the mouth, this defiles the man. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this statement? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit. And Peter answered and said to him, well, explain the parable to us. And Jesus said, are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Jesus says some very fascinating things here. He says in verse 3, you transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition. Then he says, you invalidate the word of God. This is verse 6, you invalidate the word of God for the sake of your tradition. And then he says in verse 9, you teach as doctrine what is just the precept, the wisdom of men. The issue at hand here was that the disciples ate bread before they'd washed their hands. This was against the teaching of the Jewish elders. And Jesus replies, you make up traditions that directly contradict the law. For example, they had apparently come up with this convenient loophole by which a child could be prevented from having to take care of his parents just by saying that his money was dedicated to God and so it couldn't be used for anything else. And Jesus says, you are transgressing the law. The point is, in verse 8, this people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart, it's far from me. And then he concludes by saying that it isn't what comes in your mouth that matters that much, it's what comes out from your heart. He basically says, stop worrying about whether you get a little bit of dirt from your hands on your bread when you eat it. Start worrying about evil thoughts, adultery, slander, false witness, stealing. So his point is, heart obedience is what really matters to God. They were doing external things which looked spiritual, like saying that their possessions were dedicated to God, when really their heart was set on disobeying God by not honoring their parents, by being selfish and keeping their own things. It was good-looking, spiritual-looking hypocrisy. This people, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. Now, let me suggest three applications from Colossians 2 and from this principle that we see reflected here in Matthew 15. Number one, is Christianity just a bunch of works by which you think you will get yourself to heaven? Is Christianity just a bunch of works by which you think you're going to get yourself to heaven? You are not someone who's been broken of your sinfulness, humble to realize you had no hope, no forgiveness without the blood of Jesus. You're someone who has seen Christianity as a system of works by which you earn heaven. Is that you? Are you playing the Christian game and doing the Christian stuff, but Jesus isn't your Savior and Master? Watch out. Secondly, are you spending all of your time worrying about the details in areas of liberty and very little time focusing on obeying God in the areas that are clear? In other words, some people know the ins and outs and the details of every controversial issue in the church today, but they don't really love and obey God in their heart. They spend all their time worrying about the details in these areas of liberty and very little time focusing on the clear matters of obedience and love for God. Is that you? Number three, Are you paying close attention to outward regulations so that you'll look spiritual, but your heart is full of fleshly indulgence? Do you think you're a good Christian just because you're going through the motions? Do you feel comfortable that you must be spiritual because you're doing these outward things, but your heart is really a mess? Even though you're totally out of sync with the head, there's no fellowship, there's no communication, there's no following Christ, but you're doing outward things so you feel pretty spiritual? In the words of Jesus in Matthew 15, do you honor Him with your lips when your heart is far from Him? Let me suggest some examples. There could be a family that crusades against granting marriage rights to homosexuals. They are signing petitions and writing politicians and putting up signs, but their marriage doesn't demonstrate the relationship between Christ and the church. Their marriage is a mess. There could be a father who's very vocal in telling the baseball coach that his child will not miss a one on Wednesday night. He will not be a baseball practice if they try to practice on Wednesday because his child is going to be in a one. But then dad goes home at night and stays up late watching trash on television. His son never misses Awana, but his dad's heart loves the things of the world. Of course, there are some children who act like an angel in Sunday school, and they bring their Bible and they answer all the questions so the teacher will think that they're a really good kid, but they go to school the next day and they're a bully and a smart aleck and just plain selfish in everything they do. There could be a mother who insists on the highest standard of modesty for her and her daughters, but never spends any time alone reading her Bible. It could be a man who gives 20% of his income to the church every month, 20%, but he won't even spend 5 minutes by himself praying for his fellow church members, praying for his church leadership. No time in prayer, but oh, he gives a big portion of his income in the offering each week. Now, am I saying that crusading to protect marriage legally or having your child in Awana or acting correctly on Sunday or having high standards of modesty or giving generously is wrong? Is that hypocrisy? No. But are those things true spirituality? That depends on the heart. They might be the fruit of genuine Christlikeness and love for God. Or they might just be good-looking hypocrisy. So I want to ask us this question gently and firmly today. Who are you really? Are you an outward show? A game? An act? Or are you real? Is there heart and substance to your love for God and obedience to Him? If we took away all of the outward regulations, all of the taste not, touch not, honor this day, do this, don't do that, all of the highly visible good things that you do, and all that was left was our relationship with God and our love for Him and our delight in Christ and our obedience to Him. If you took away all the outward regulations, all the outward things we do, and we were just stripped down to just our relationship with God and love for Him, what would people see? Would we be exposed as a fraud, as a good-looking hypocrite, or would people see that we're real? Not perfect, but real. There's real substance there, real love for God, real excitement about Christ, not just good-looking external stuff. We need warn today to watch out, to look out for good-looking hypocrisy, to look out for the temptation of our hearts, to make sure we look great on the outside when the inside is a mess. If the inside is a mess this morning, come back to God. Don't come back to the external things. Come back to God with your heart. Repent of your sin. Repent of yourself. Say, oh God, I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want to delight in You. I want to obey You from my heart. I want to honor You with my lips and with my heart. God, I want to come back to You today.